The way St. John tells the story, on that first Easter night, the disciples locked the door out of fear. Now let's put a little context on that story, or as they would say on TV in a previous episode. The disciples had heard Jesus preach during his lifetime of his coming suffering and death, and that he would rise 3 days later. They had experienced earlier in that same day the empty tomb. They had gone to see that the tomb where Jesus was buried was empty, and they had heard Mary Magdalene burst into their closed room and tell them that she had seen a vision of the Lord. Yet despite all that, the disciples lock the door out of fear. St. John says it was fear of the Jews, but I have a suspicion that there was another, maybe unconscious fear at work. I suspect that the disciples were afraid of Jesus. You see, if Jesus really was risen from the dead, then that meant everything had changed. That meant they had to take seriously what he had told them. If Jesus were risen from the dead, then they really did have to love their enemies and do good to those who hated them. If Jesus was risen from the dead, they really did have to turn the other cheek. If Jesus was risen from the dead, they really did have to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Now, no doubt, those disciples, those apostles of Jesus, had listened to him, had attended to him, had come to love him. But when they heard that message, I think they heard it the same way we do. They heard that message as kind of an impossible ideal that we can't live out in this world. But if Jesus risen from the dead, the impossible has become the deal. And no longer do the disciples imagine that they somehow or other have to fit what Jesus said into their life. Instead, they have to realize that their lives, what they think, their values, have to be fit into the life of Jesus. They were locking the door out of fear for what this resurrection might mean in their life. What about us? What about our own fears? We could all make a list, I'm sure, the things we are fearful of. Afraid of being sick, afraid of dying, afraid of losing someone that we love, afraid of running out of money, afraid of what's happening in our families, afraid what's going on in politics or the city, afraid that we might miss out on something, afraid that there is some value out there which is going to make all that we've held on to somehow or other go to ruin. We have all these fears. And yet, despite those fears, I am kind of like those apostles in being a little reluctant to open up the door and let Jesus in to deal with those fears. Because let's think about fear of being sick, something we all probably have in common. If I open up the door and let Jesus in to that fear, then that means it doesn't really matter whether I'm sick or not. Whether I'm sick or well, is all in God's hands because I've let Jesus in and I trust that I can join my prayer to his in Gethsemane and say, Father, your will be done. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. When I think of the fears about St. James, can I let Jesus in and really believe that no matter how things turn out, it's for the best, even if it's not what I would have preferred? So these fears that we have, we somehow or other, or I somehow or other, am reluctant to turn completely over to Jesus. But happily, Jesus is not deterred by a locked door. Jesus comes barging in, we're told. And he addresses that fear-filled room in a way that will ease those fears that they had. He addresses them in four distinct ways to help them let them know that their fears are useless. And he addresses those same to us, I think. The first, of course, is Jesus comes into that fear-filled room and says, "Peace be with you." He says it several other times to make sure they get it. Peace be with you. And we're told in between those sayings, he shows them his hands and his side. St. John wants them to understand that that peace that Jesus promises, that peace that Jesus gives, includes his passion, his suffering, all that he had gone through. We don't need to have things going well all the time in order to have God's peace, Jesus is saying. But even in the worst of circumstance, God's peace can fill our minds and our hearts. And so, we are invited then to let Jesus in and give us that peace which is beyond our understanding. And he goes on to say, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Well, if you think about it, if you're sent, you've got to open the door, right? If you're sent, you can't stay inside. So you have to leave that room of fear if you're sent. And maybe what Jesus is trying to let us know is that if we start to involve ourselves in the lives of others, if we start to be concerned about what others are going through, then our own fears, our own worries don't seem quite as monstrous as they do if we stay locked in our room. Jesus sends us forth so that we can learn that all that I'm going through is joined together with what everyone else is going through. We're not unique in the fears that we have. And so by sending us forth, Jesus teaches us to put those fears aside so that as we trust more and more in what God is doing in each one of us. And then our Lord continues and he breathes on them, we're told, and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The third step on the way out of fear. And that breath, of course, reminds us of that Spirit that stirred the waters at the dawn of creation. That breath, that the Spirit that God breathed into that lump of clay that was to become Adam, the Spirit which inspired Moses and the prophets, the Spirit who revived those dry bones of Ezekiel, the Spirit that descended and overshadowed the Blessed Mother when the angel Gabriel came. That same Spirit Jesus gave to those disciples and gives to us. And that lets us know that we're not dependent on our own strength and abilities. We have the Spirit of God. If we were dependent on ourselves. Then the fear that we have of sickness and death and loneliness and all the rest would be daunting. But since we've got that Holy Ghost power, we know we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. And then finally, the final door-busting gift that Jesus gives to those disciples in the midst of their fear is to say, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Well, what's the connection between forgiveness and fear? It doesn't seem very obvious. I think what our Lord wants us to understand is that as long as we're holding on to a grudge, as long as we're clinging to a resentment, then somehow or other that person that offended us, that person that hurt us, still has some power over us. They still control us in some way. But if we can extend forgiveness to them, then no longer have we ceded our own power, but we've reclaimed it. We've said that I am a child of God, and no matter what anyone else has done to me, doesn't impact my value, my worth, my dignity. So forgiveness drives out fear. The gospel goes on to say that Thomas confesses, "My Lord and my God." And we all join Thomas in making that confession today, because "My Lord and my God" says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In me all will be well." So we can invite Jesus in and be filled with His love. Amen.